Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of Grecian's Gossip. Just three of us today: Jamie Hawkins,
hello,
Dan Clark,
hello,
and myself, Howard Lloyd. No, David Byram, he's off on the holiday. So, anyway, a few bits to look forward to. Obviously, big FA Cup game at the weekend. But we'll start with a quick look back. Obviously, a couple of games to cover since we last had a chat. That's both Barnet and Newport. Now, Dan, Jamie, you guys were both at the Barnet game on the Saturday. Home win, the 17th home win of 2017, you were saying, which is remarkable home record. Jamie, you're saying, is it the second most in the country, did you say?
Yeah, like? I believe it must just be behind Manchester City.
Portsmouth.
Games, they're playing the lower leagues.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's a remarkable record when you think the last couple of years, home has been pretty awful for Exeter City. You know, it took last November 2016 to win at home, and you know, it seems to be the reverse of, you know, the away form being so good. And now it's the home form. You know, when Tisdale first came in and it was ever so strong, I remember there was a stat in about 90 home games, he'd only lost 9 or 10, which was pretty amazing. And then the last, like I said, couple of years, it's been pretty awful, really. Couldn't buy a home win. And yeah, this year it's been brilliant. You know, you look back to the start of 2017 when we're going on that remarkable run which took us all the way to Wembley and then carried on this season. Just two home losses this season, I think Luton and Port Vale, and it's been pretty solid, been pretty good. You know, it's especially with, you know, the Barnet win, there's been a few late winners, injury time again on Saturday, and yeah, it's just great because not only does it keep the results going, but it keeps the fans coming back as well, because it's easy to, you know, for fans to be put off when you're not winning at home, as we saw last season. But
it's very dispiriting, isn't it? A home defeat.
Yeah, especially
it always
when
knocks the window.
Yeah, when you pay that money as well, and not only the result, but the performance not so good. So, yeah, it's remarkable, really, that it's kept going for me.
Any idea what it comes down to, Dan?
It's very hard to put your finger on it because it doesn't really sort of feel that too much has changed, you know, particularly when it started, sort of around this time last year. They started those wins, they weren't really a lot different to what they were doing at the first half of last season. But it's, you know, I feel that, you know, perhaps that, you know, they've got, you know, the likes of Jaden Stockley, Ruben Reid last season as well, you know, players who didn't really need that many chances to get a goal and grab the goals that, you know, you need to. You don't, you know, it's a case of you might not necessarily, you know, create a huge amount, but you know, you only need one chance to put, you know, for your striker to put it in the back of the net, and you can get the goals. But it sort of feels that, you know, that obviously there was a lot of anti-Tisdale feeling, you know, around at the time when they weren't winning all these games at home, and it seems to have, you know, disappeared a little bit. So much you don't sort of feel the same around the ground. There's not so much getting on the players' backs as it was sort of, you know, at the time, and they keep going to the end, and they keep, you know, nicking these games late on. I mean, yes, the Barnet one, it wasn't a great game. I don't think City played particularly well. Barnet had their chances to win that one. It's just one, you know, late goal that, you know, just keep, you know, it's a long ball forward and a great finish by Taylor. It wasn't, you know, a game we'll probably remember in a couple of months, but just need to keep these wins going at home and try and, you know, figure out, you know, a formula to start picking up some points on the road as well, because, you know, as great as the home form has been, if you keep losing every single away game, eventually, you know, it is going to take its toll, and it's shown. You know, it's sort of dropped from, you know, being in the automatic zone to now just in the playoffs as well, you know, partly because of the Forest Green postponement, but partly because the away form really poor, 5 defeats in a row, and that's got to change, you feel, if they want to, you know, for automatic promotion, that's got to change, and probably even for the playoffs as well. They're going to have to start winning some games away from home, but they've got some tough away. I think the next two games are away in Notts County and Luton, and you'd look at those two and you'd go, well, it's my, you know, then it suddenly becomes seven defeats in a row, and that's...
Mm, you'd have to take a point from each of those, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you just want to get something, and something needs to change away from home, really.
Mm. Yeah, Jamie, I asked Dan what had changed at St James's Park with all the wins. What do you think's changed on the road all of a sudden?
Well, I've been to quite a few away games this season because we've played quite a few local ones, and covering them for Devon Lyon as well, of course. But I don't know, I think the start of the season, it was such a positive attitude and positive lineups. You know, when we went to Cheltenham with 2-0 down after about 10-15 minutes and came back to win, 4-2 up, it was 4-3 in the end. But I can't remember the last real away game. I think Carlisle I went to, and Carlisle were pretty poor, and City weren't really great, but they did enough to get the win. And then I went to Mansfield and really, really poor, but somehow managed to scrape a point. But, you know, the last couple, you know, I went to Yeovil, Danny went as well, and that was one of the worst performances, probably the worst I've seen this season at least. You know, the lineup doesn't seem too dissimilar to the home form. You know, Yeovil we played with Stockley and McAlinden up front, so it's quite a positive attacking lineup. I think it's just individual errors, really. The Yeovil game, you know, mentioned Lloyd James giving the ball away for the first goal. You know, I wasn't at the Newport on Monday, but again, it just looked... I mean, the pitch was pretty atrocious, but you can't really use that as an excuse. But I think it was just mistakes, really. The first goal was a header that seemed to loop over Pym. The second one, it was a long way out, 25 yards, but perhaps he should have done better there. But, you know, City did have their chances. Lloyd-James, I think, missed a sitter, a header from... free header. I didn't see that on the highlights, but we had a few chances to get someone from that game. But as tough as a place Newport is to go, you really need to start picking up results away from, especially at teams like Yeovil who are really struggling. So it is a worry. I know fans were getting on the back of Tisdale again after that game, but I think the positive thing was that still only seventh in the league, still in the playoffs, and only 2 points off Coventry in third. But it does certainly need working on and quickly.
Mm. I suppose one of the things from last season, all those great away performances you had, sort of Watkins, your Joel Grant, David Wheeler in the side, all had a pretty little bit of pace about them to hit teams quickly on the counter attack, and sort of lost, obviously losing all three of those in the summer, and they haven't sort of been replaced by like for like kind of players, really. You know, sort of, so you've got Kyle Edwards, but he doesn't, you know, he seems to be more of an impact sub than sort of a starting option. And obviously, the other players they've brought in Boateng, they've brought in Stockley, and those, you know, attacking or midfield attacking positions. And although they've got their great qualities, well, they're not lightning quick like they were, which sort of means last season Exeter could sort of just sit back, defend a little bit away from home, and then go from back to front very quickly and run at players. And this season they haven't quite got the pace to do that, so you might sort of feel there needs to be sort of just a way of looking at getting a little bit more pace into the side away from home if you are going to sort of play a similar kind of lineup. So whether that means Edwards, you know, needs to come in and start more, or, you know, sort of maybe someone like Holmes or McAlinden have just got to be told, you know, they can sort of play out on the wing but have got to be more direct than perhaps they are when they get the ball to run at them. But yeah, that is what possibly, you know, one of the major differences, losing that quick counter-attacking threat, which means you sort of almost got to, you know, come out a bit more, take the game to the opposition a little bit more, and leaves you a little bit more open if you do lose the ball for them to run at you.
Mm. I guess, I mean, Jamie, you alluded to the nature of the goals conceded at Newport. I think one of them was came out from a pretty suicidal pass across his own back line, or something from Lloyd James, and then... difficult one about the winner, but question marks over Christy Pym as well. I mean, what did you both make it? Do you think Pym could have done better for that second one in particular? Or?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to remember it, to be honest. Yeah. But, you know, I think it's one of Pym's been fairly consistent of late. At Barnet, his kicking was pretty poor. I mean, the weather didn't help, but he's quite inconsistent, and he can do one amazing save, which he did against Barnet, actually, when they equalised. He tipped over the bar, he did extremely well. But then he can, make a howler. He gets beaten at his near post. So it is a worry, definitely. I think the communication with the back four hasn't been particularly great. Can't remember if it was a Barnet game or Forest Green, when him and Seaborn seem to keep getting muddled up who was claiming the ball. So I think that doesn't help, because at the start of the season it was so solid with Troy Brown and Jordan Moore-Taylor, the centre-backs, and obviously Troy Brown's out injured and Moore-Taylor's picked up a lot, so you've got Seaborn and Troy Archibald-Hemfield, who haven't played a lot of football, especially together. So I think it doesn't help his performance when the centre-backs in front of him aren't that fluent with each other. So that will be a concern, but it does need working on, for sure. But, Pim's been outstanding this season. So many great saves, and wouldn't be where we were now if it wasn't for him.
Mm. Okay. Well, let's listen to what Paul Tisdale had to say about the result quickly.
Testing ourselves against Premier League.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, we're looking forward to testing ourselves against Premier League opposition. I don't think we have to overthink it. I don't think we have to worry about it. I think we've just got to go and play and hope for a really, good, entertaining game at the park. And I think the players will look forward to it. We'll miss out on a game in the league, which we'll have to replay another time, which does pile up the fixtures. And that's probably the only downside to the day. We're really looking forward to it. I mean, we make no predictions about what or how West Brom will perform. It's about us. It's about what we do. I think I'm just hoping everyone will really enjoy the game. We had some good experiences recently in the FA Cup, and I'd like to repeat that.
And just on Jordan, is his injury anything serious that will keep him out of West Brom?
I don't think so. No, he failed a fitness test this morning. It was like a muscle injury off the back of Saturday, and it was just the game being played. This game being played tomorrow, I think he would have made it. Just a casualty, I suppose, of the two games in 3 days. Just couldn't quite get him back on the pitch. As I say, I think if the game was another day, I think he would have played.
Okay.
There we go. Those were Paul Tisdale's thoughts on the Newport game. Bit of news that we received on Wednesday. Ken Wilson, he's been recalled by West Brom. Now, Jamie, you sort of covered a bit on this. And a bit of a shame as far as you're concerned. You think he made a good impact to the city?
Yeah, I think he's been pretty solid. He hasn't played every game. Eight appearances he's made, but 17 years old, he's looking for first team football, and he got it. And he was excellent, really. I think he made his debut in Mansfield when I covered the game, and he got sent off. And I think Tisdale basically he didn't say it was wrong for him to do that, but it was certainly a learning curve for him, and he's used that to his advantage. I think his attacking play, I think, being particularly impressive, make strong runs down the right hand side, and it put a great cross in. And on Barnet, he scored a really good goal as well, his first professional goal. So he certainly made an impact at the club, and I guess that's been picked up by Alan Pardew, who basically said he needs to have a proper look at the loan players because he's just been watching them on videos. So I guess it suggests that they're quite a weakened squad at the moment, the bottom of the league, desperate for a win and a good performance, and maybe he'll use him in the first team. I can't see him really playing much more than he did at City. He might get on the first team bench a few times, but it's quite a surprise, to be honest, because he's done so well at City, just getting to a good standard, a good level, and hopefully he'll play some football, because it can come crashing back down to him, and give it a few weeks. If he's not playing, all of a sudden his confidence will go and his performances might drop. So yeah, very disappointed, but I guess in a way, with his performances, not too surprised, because it must have been picked up on.
You know, it would be a shame if, as you say, no, since he's been getting game time at City, if he suddenly went back to West Brom and didn't play at all.
It was a bit of a surprise he came in the first place. He was actually on the bench, I think, for the first couple of the games for West Brom this season. I know they were a little bit short of players at the start of the season, but obviously they saw enough. You know, he was highly rated enough to be in their 18-man squad for the first couple of games. Considering the only ones they've won this season, so maybe you'd be a bit of a lucky charm for West Brom to come back. But you know, obviously, it seemed a bit of a surprise that they let him go on out on loan in the first place when he was that in and around the squad. And obviously, it does leave extra a little bit light at right back as well. Obviously, Piers Sweeney is the only sort of player you'd look at, you'd expect to play there really. Much this is, I know Lloyd James dropped in there in that the Forest Green Cup game. That's down to 10 men, but you wouldn't think that's a sort of a long-term option. So maybe, you know, obviously Portis does said he wants to make a few signings, and maybe sort of a right back is going to have to go, you know, near the top of the list, as that's a position the club's short in at the minute.
Mm. There's a good little story actually in Dean Moxey's column, both on the Devon Live website and in the Echo this week about. Dean Moxey said that he was drug tested along with Kane Wilson after the Barnet game, and it's an interesting. Oh, I won't give it away. There's an interesting little story there about the kind of the chat he had with two Barnet players and Kane Wilson after that one. So I'd urge anyone to have a quick look at that. I guess does this all mean that he could potentially play this weekend in the Cup, or has he appeared?
I think he's cup tied already. Okay. He's already played.
Yeah. For that's a shame. That would be a lovely. Yeah. That'd be a great little subplot, wouldn't it? An interesting game. I mean, Dan, yeah, looking ahead to this West Brom game, I mean, what kind of chance has City really got, do you think, to spring the upset?
I think they've got a chance, really, because mainly you've got to look at the way West Brom have been playing for pretty much all season, really, actually, even further going back to the back end of last season as well. It's sort of, you know, they lost, you know, at West Ham, which, you know, at the minute seems to take some doing as well, you know. That means it's something that's 20 games without a win now for them. They won their first three this season and haven't won since. I mean, Alan Pardew, you know, under a little bit of pressure already. I think it's 8 or 9 games he's been in charge. They haven't won any of them. And if you stretch it back to the end of last season, something like 3 wins in 35 for West Brom. And it's a side that, you know, they're seriously lacking confidence. They don't. You look at the side and you go, you really struggle to see where the goals are going to come from, to, you know, particularly in the Premier League, to keep them up. And they've gone, you know, so many games without a win now that, you know, they sort of, you must be looking, well, when are we going to get a win? Obviously, they're right down at the bottom of the Premier League with Swansea. I think they're 4 or 5 points away from, you know, relegation zone. So they're getting to that point where they're starting to get cut adrift a little bit. And, you know, the real question, obviously, is going to be sort of what kind of team that West Brom put out. I think we all think that if he fields his best side, they're probably going to have enough to beat Exeter on the day. But if he, you know, starts to make changes, you know, 3 games in a week, and Pardew's been very vocal about, you know, the fixture congestion that they've had, and sort of putting in an official complaint to the league about it, suggests he doesn't think his squad can be that fully fit, and there's going to be a lot of tired legs around. So, you know, you might be looking at sort of, you know, 8, 9, 10, even 11 changes, and then that sort of really, you know, makes it a lot more even playing field, because, you know, a full strength West Brom side probably have too much, but a second string West Brom side, you know, players who haven't played a lot together, you know, who aren't actually good enough to get into that West Brom side, who are struggling so much, you know, particularly combinations who've not really ever played together, it gives City more of a chance. I mean, you'd probably say West Brom are likely, yeah, to be the favourites, but, you know, I think City, you give themselves a good, a shot at winning this, and, you know, there's always going to be a cup shock in around on third round day. So I think, you know, it's one of the games that's on international TV. I mean, I think it's Five Lives commentary game as well, and I think they've got a pretty good record of actually picking, you know, a game to commentate on where the shock happens. So, you know, it's
some of which have involved Exeter City.
Well, yeah, but, you know, you sort of feel it's, you know, Exeter have got a good chance in this one. I think you, you probably still think West Brom will have enough, but you know, City have got to fancy themselves, particularly if they can get that early in front of a sellout crowd.
Mm. Jamie, where do you stand on the West Brom team section? I guess I mean, their league position could almost come back to haunt Exeter City in the sense if they are desperate for that win, you know, a strong side could be in the offing for them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Alan Pardew will be having some headaches over the next few days about what team to pick because, as you said, they haven't won since August. They'll be absolutely desperate for a win, and the thought of, you know, being knocked out of the cup by a League Two side is pretty humiliating for him and the club, and it will put the pressure on him. So with that in mind, he might play a really strong team, which, you know, on paper it's a pretty decent team. You know, they've got some international players in there and quite experienced as well. But if he chooses to prioritise the league, which he should, you know, as a really fighting relegation, you know, making 9 or 10 changes could really, you know, give City a chance. You know, as we saw against Liverpool when Jurgen Klopp wanted to play, you know, completely weakened team, and on the day City should have beaten them. So it's going to be an interesting one. I think the result will depend on West Brom's team. It's just going to be a great game. I think it's probably one of the best ties City could have got, actually, given their form and their woes at the moment. Playing at home on a dodgy pitch, it's not going to favour either side, but City are used to it by now, so you'd think it would favour them a bit more. It's going to be strange, of course, still playing in front of half a stadium with two stands. I think when West Brom come down, they might wonder what on earth's going on, but it's got all the makings for a great cup tie and an upset. And, you know, given City's impressive home form, 17 home wins this season, why not make it 18? Why not go for it? You know, and Tisdale's got a decent record against some big teams that we've played. So yeah, I'm pretty optimistic at the moment, mm-hmm. to be honest.
Well, I know you guys are both City fans, so if I ask you to kind of list fond FA Cup memories of Exeter City, I mean, do you both just go straight back to those Manchester United games, or are there any others that stand out?
There's not a lot of else. Sort of, the cup records, it's not been great, and obviously I think it's only sort of the third time in going back what, 12, 13 years that they've even reached the third round, and obviously, you know, things that other than say the Man United game and the Liverpool game, things that come to mind firstly when you think of the FA Cup are sort of the horrible losses to Curzon Ashton and Warrington, and you know, on draw day going, oh, please not bury away again. But yeah, those, you know, they were obviously some, you know, the great, you know, holding both Liverpool and Man United in those cup ties the first time round, and obviously lost the replay in the end, but you know, they were great experiences and, you know, great days for the club as well. And you know, I think this, you know, just needs to obviously, you know, the next stage is to win one of those big ties and, you know, get themselves in the fourth round for, you know, for the first time in a very, very long time.
20 years or something, yeah. It's amazing when I look back at that Manchester United tie, because I was at university at the time, and in Reading, actually, and I was with a friend of mine who was a Manchester United fan. We were watching it on television, and just kind of, you know, City got that draw, and I just didn't really, it was amazing how I didn't really think much of it, because I had no connection to Exeter then. Obviously, it was a bit of a surprise, but if you weren't involved with Exeter, so many people didn't have any idea about the implications of that, that game, and obviously the replay at Old Trafford, and stuff like that. So it's amazing how kind of, you know, these FA Cup games, they can have a huge bearing on the club, can't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first leg at Old Trafford, I think the thing that sticks out in my mind is when the draw was made, because they filmed Steve Perryman and Alex Inglethorpe watching it from home, I think, and Steve Perryman doing, like, you know, circles doing, he was, you know, like I said, it saved the club really, because it was a really awful time at the moment. And then the replay, I remember when, you know, obviously had Match of the Day coming down, that had happened for a long, long time, and I think it was Alan Hansen, like, had no idea where Exeter was, or never heard of it, or something like that. It's, like they say, it's all cliche, but it was, like, the magic of the cup, and, you know, a 2-0 loss wasn't too bad. I remember, I think it was Steve Flack had a goal disallowed, and I was still celebrating till about last year. But yeah, and then obviously the Liverpool tie was another great one as well, because we played them in the League Cup a couple of years before. you know, to see Jurgen Klopp, who only just joined at the time, you know, that was a great game, and like I said, one that he should have won. And then obviously got the replay at Anfield, which was a great day out as well. So yeah, it's interesting how we don't get to the third round often, but when we do, it's always Premier League teams. And yeah, it's going to be another great day, I think.
The Man United game, everyone remembers Scott Hyland, that Megan Ronaldo. It's still the high point of his career, yeah. I think.
I think I remember Steve Perrin saying he's still dining out on that to this day. It's funny, actually, this one, West Brom, I mean, yeah, you obviously would, I guess, still call City the underdogs, but I think there probably is a little bit more air of expectation about this weekend than some of the, you know, obviously the Liverpool and Man United games. It's kind of a, just take what you can get almost. But against West Brom, I think it's just that slight air of expectation.
Yeah, it is the point, because I remember when we played Hull in the League Cup a couple of years ago. I know it was really early in the season, but they were really struggling in the league at that time, and everyone thought it could be a shock on there, but in the end, they ran out pretty comfortable winners. But yeah, it's just, I don't know what the odds and City win would be, but it wouldn't be against putting a pound or two on.
Cool. Well, we caught up with Dean Moxey as well to catch his thoughts about the West Brom game. Let's have a listen to what he had to say about it.
Thoughts on today's game?
not a great result, not a great first half. We battled well second half, but it wasn't to be on a day. It was not great conditions, but both sides had it. So.
And I guess frustrating as well with this sort of 2 week break now for the West Brom game.
Yeah, frustrating. We wanted to come here and get the 3 points, but like I say, we've got a 2 week break now, and it's the FA Cup. We've got to concentrate on now and try and get to the next round.
And I guess 3 points from the sort of three Christmas games isn't exactly what you're aiming for. You've still got the Forest Green game to come.
It's obviously we wanted to get more than that. It didn't happen over the Christmas period for us for some reason or another. But obviously with the game called off, we've still got that to play. But we wanted to come here and get the points, which we left disappointed today.
And I guess West Brom, you can almost look to bounce back with some great home form.
Yes, it's one of those where we've got no pressure on us now. We've got a Premier League team coming to play at our place on not a great pitch, and whether they want to play on that, I don't know. It's not great for anyone, but yeah, we've got a good chance to get into the fourth round, and that's what we want to do.
And you know, there are players in the squad who play against Liverpool, you play against Man United, you know, great memories to play against Premier League clubs as well.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's obviously, like I said, there's no pressure on us. It's a win-win, really. We want to get into the fourth round, obviously, but it'll be a good test up against a good West Brom team.
Okay, then.
Was Dean Moxey there. I guess just before we finish off, guys, I'll ask you for some predictions. Dan, what are you saying?
I'm gonna go sort of maybe half over head on this one and say City to win 3-2.
Oh wow, high score, isn't it? Jamie?
I really do think it comes down on West Brom's team selection. If they play their strongest team, I can only see a comfortable win for them. But I think they'll play a weak team, and I'm gonna go for a score draw. 1-1 maybe.
I think that's a good shout. And a replay would not be the worst thing in the world, would it, for the City of the Hawthorns either? Yeah. So, well, what's your space? I look forward to reconvening this time, seeing how we got on. But, well, thanks very much for joining us, and we'll see you then. Cheers.